Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Troll. Today I'm joined by a comedian writer who I have long admired. He started life in Beirut, he now lives in the Nam, Cheltenham, and continues to find huge success as a brilliant travel writer. Dom Jolly, you first made your mark on the nation when you started screaming into a huge telephone that everything was shit. It is fair to say that you were the first person to send up trolls.
Well, actually, maybe I was a troll. That's what's weird, because I think people look back at the big mobile now and think it was some sort of statement on people on the mobile and the way they behave, and it kind of was, but actually it wasn't. It was a way of interrupting things that I found really boring. So my dream, in fact, last night, it's so weird, I haven't done the big mobile for years, and it's not like I'd wander around with it all the time, I really don't, but last night I went to see Naomi Klein, because that's how woke I am.
Oh God, you and, are woke.
And it was so dull, I have to be honest. It was literally like a sort of Guardian meeting. It was just preaching to the converted, and I've never wanted more just troll it, basically. So I kind of, this is going to be a weird start, because I probably am a troll. I mean, trigger happy in a sense is trolling.
But this is an interesting
the
debate.
The difference is that, so I'll get the defence out of the way, is that everyone I filmed, I'd asked permission and signed. So I kind of, if I got trolled and then they asked permission to troll, I'd say no. Mm. But, you know, it'd be an interesting, there's a level
of
consent.
There was a consensual,
there's a level of consent. And hopefully a bit of fun about it as well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't mind being trolled in a fun way. I don't mind a funny troll.
I don't mind being trolled if the troll's dressed as a squirrel. I think that's absolutely fine. But they need to wear some sort of fancy dress. Yeah. I think that's just
or spell.
A given. Or, well, spell. You see, that's the real
that's
problem.
That's your, but yeah, your bugbear's that, isn't it?
Well, it's everyone's, isn't it? I mean, no, it's almost, there's, I mean, I hate to say this, but normally when I get trolled, it's there's three things. They can't spell your, so it's Y-O-U-R, you're fat, you're not funny, you're a cunt or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a link to football. I'm sorry, there just is. There's a picture of a man who's normally bald and has a tattoo. And then obviously there's the Brexit thing. And if you get all four, then you've got, you know, he's at least not a bot. He's proper. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I don't understand the bot thing, I have to be honest. I know there are bot
farms.
Oh,
no, but you can see, no, the Russian, I got one the other day that was, I mean, it didn't even make any sense. It was like letters strung together.
But that's what I don't get. I get that if you mention Greta Thunberg and you suddenly get 400 things, there's a sort of, someone's trying to shift the debate. But some of the bots that, for instance, David Baddiel gets, and he'll say bot, it's like, but what's that bot doing? Is the bot drunk? Because it's not even funny. It's just sort of odd.
So
shit bots.
Shit bots. Yeah. Well, foreign bots.
Shit foreign bots. Yeah, there you go.
How did you...
We can swear on this, Jimmy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, great.
Yes. We have to say cunt or bugger.
Good, excellent. I love
at
that.
All
yeah.
points. How did you end up on social media? And is Twitter your medium of choice?
Well, it is. Twitter was the one I started on. I'm on Facebook. I've never understood Facebook.
Oh.
So I started off with a personal Facebook. Well, what I thought was a normal Facebook page. And then I realised that it got to, I'm not saying it's the big up, but it's just I got to 5,000 friends, and then you can't have any more. So then someone said, no, but if you're a public figure, you need a fan page, and then you can have as many as you want. So I started that, but I sort of felt really protective over my 5,000, because they were my they were kind of weird, so I've never moved them. So I've got this weird 5,000 thing that
your
almost...
Your closest friends and...
Well, they're not, I don't know them at all, but they were kind of the first people to follow me on Facebook, so they're old followers. So they're kind of my special group. And then I've got another one that I don't understand Facebook at all. I don't like it.
Do you post on it?
No, very rarely.
Do you post personal things on it? To your 5,000?
Yeah, my 5,000 occasionally. They're interested in my dogs and, you know, the usual
dog
shit.
Oh, you do
shit.
Do dogs. So, do you do yeah. kids?
What?
Do you do kids?
Well, I don't normally. But yesterday my daughter passed a driving test and I was so excited. I put a picture up and then I thought, oh my God, people are going to be horrible. Actually, no one was, because it was on Instagram. Nice.
Ah, the kind place.
Yeah, so I feel that there's three different mentalities. And there's Facebook, which is sort of a bit weird, and I feel it's spying on me and listening on me. It's all a bit Amazon, and I hate Zuckerberg more and more now, as he seems to be becoming nasty and going against Elizabeth Warren. Then Twitter's where I started. But I feel now Twitter's a sort of almost being on Twitter. You know, if you say to anyone under 35, you're on Twitter, they look at you like, what? You know, I mean, it's like showing them a VHS.
They don't know what it is. It's a Betamax.
I get a lot of news on Twitter. It's it's terrible. I get news quicker than I do on the BBC or anything on Twitter. The only problem is I try and, because I just stick with the same 90 people, and it's not an echo chamber, it's just the same people. So what I'd really like to do is kind of change it up every week and sort of chuck some of my friends and like get new ones. But then it's really, you can't do that. But I don't want too many people. So, do you know what I mean? Like you look at Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
I think he follows everyone who follows him. I mean, he follows about a million people.
Which do you think he runs his own Twitter account, though?
I don't know. I literally can't understand the point of being on Twitter if you don't run your own account.
Yeah,
I mean, the only reason I'm good on Twitter is because I drunk tweet, which you should never do. But it means that, you know, it's what you want to read, isn't it?
But you could be horrible. My first, you once tweeted, oh, I know, you once tweeted something really grim to me. Which
to you?
Yes.
Go on, then.
There was some stupid Daily Mail story about my husband nearly eating a napkin.
What?
Oh, do you remember it was a slow news day, how it managed to make headlines.
I genuinely don't know what we're talking about, but go on.
Oh, no, and you did. You were like, what's that bird off EastEnders? And a thicko husband.
I literally can promise you that I never
trolled. I swear to you, I've got it.
Find it.
I am going to find it in a court of law.
I would never say that.
You did?
No, because I had no idea you were on EastEnders. I'd never watched EastEnders. Genuinely.
Somebody hacked into your
body. No, no one hacked me. I can tell you. I know when I'm
going to find it.
Yeah, do.
Something like, oh, thick, something. Oh, anyway, it was very funny, but it was funny, and it was you, and it made me laugh. But also, what I
unless loved, I was doing, well, I need to read it in context.
Yeah, but it was funny. because I don't care. Yeah. It was great.
No, but I'll tell you this.
That was a consensual troll.
This is what I don't understand. I'd be rude to someone if it's funny, like, yes. and it's a remark on something. And the problem with Twitter sometimes is nuance is not something that gets so something looks. I refuse to use emojis, for instance, and I know emojis where you say something sort of rude and then you put this laughing face or whatever, but I kind of hate emojis, so mine always come across wrong, a bit like me in real life, actually. People sort of misread it. But the one thing I just don't understand the concept of trolling. Why would you come to someone's page that you don't like and be abusive? It's literally like me going to their office and just turning up and going,
totally.
Just letting you know, I fucking hate what you do. It's appalling. I just don't get what is the point of that?
So, because it's interesting because I think Twitter, for all its flaws, is actually a very good site because, like, I think it's an intelligent person's site. You can't be on Twitter. It's like a flirtation with somebody clever and witty.
I find I'm on trial with it. Like, I try and when someone says something, I want to write something fast back. And it keeps me sharp. Yeah. I really like that.
It's a good mind.
Yeah. But it's not a nice place, I don't think.
But it's become back in the day. Where I joined in 2009.
2008, funny,
yeah.
When did you join?
2009, and Badil and Schneider got me on it. And
yeah,
it
was, 2008, you know, the glory days.
The glory days. It was a village. It was you know, you'd sit and have breakfast with Stephen Fry and Mia Farrow. Yeah, it was fun.
I was, what was his name? David Miliband's second follow on Twitter. And he had no idea. And he literally put something like, yay, I'm Foreign Secretary, and then he deleted it. But I could see it was so good.
That
sort of thing, when no one knew what they were doing, which was really nice.
And now it's a weaponized. I mean, why I stay on it is I think people get radicalized online, and I think you need people like us to actually break an echo chamber, and if we have a certain profile. But
that's my problem. I get really angry, weirdly, about, I mean, I'm not Jewish, for instance, but I find the misogyny, which I think is particularly bad, so it must be much worse for you, and the anti-Semitism, really extraordinary. And the one thing I really like about David Baddiel is the fact that whatever he'll say, if it's about football, they're but what about Palestinians? Yeah. It's like, the fuck has that got to do with anything? But it's... I feel that when you take them on, you're not... I know that I'm not going to change anyone's mind. No one's ever going to read one of our tweets and go, do you know what? Maybe Jews are fine. Like, maybe I've been really bad. I'm going to change. I just don't think
three
they
times
do.
I had that, but again, it was quite a few years ago. But
you had someone who actually said.
Yes, he said to me, I sort of tweeted out.
But
happy.
Did you have a rational discussion with him?
I said something like Happy New Year or Happy Rosh Hashanah, Red Sea pedestrians. And he wrote back and said, yes, but what about the Palestinians? Why don't you get your neighbours? Why don't you look after your neighbours? And I said, I live in Camden.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, but you know what I mean. And then another one, I think Ellie or David Baddiel piled in and went, what do you mean by neighbours? And he came back and went, oh, actually, I've just realised.
But did you have... Because just occasionally, you can have a sort of conversation, and as long as you keep it polite on both sides, it's quite nice. And occasionally
but it doesn't happen anymore. Those days have gone, I think.
Well, I get people saying weird things like... I don't know, they'll just be rude about trigger episodes. So I'll say something and they'll go... I know, so there was a picture the other day of those people dressed in red that were from Extinction Rebellion, you know, who I really like. I think they look amazing. And so I said... And they were on the tube. And I said, oh, looks a bit trigger happy. So some guy immediately goes, Well, I think they're a little more artistic than someone, and he chose the worst bit of Trigger Happy. I can't remember what it was. And they're a bit more artistic than someone. I can't remember what he chose, but it was something that even I was embarrassed about in Trigger Happy. So I went straight back and said, well, you know, at least I sold it to 80 countries. When they do, let me know. And he immediately went, sorry, I'm being a dick. I'm a real fan. And I'm like,
oh, that's so nice.
Well, it was nice. But then I thought, why would you do that? Why's your instant reaction to somebody you like be rude? But yes. I think Twitter's a very confused place like that. I think if we'd have had that conversation in real life, I think we'd have got nuances about it that would have been all right. I think the problem with it, and the real problem with it, and actually going to Naomi Klein last night, I'm just dropping it again.
I want to hear that again.
It's just, it's my problem, and I absolutely agreed with everything Naomi Klein said, obviously, like, you know, even the patriarchy, and I was a man there, but I felt bad, all that stuff. But she was lumping everything together. It wasn't just climate change, that's what her new book is about. But also, to be anti-climate change, you also had to nationalise everything, and you had to be on with the whole left-wing project. And I'm like, that's great, but that's ridiculous because all the people in this room will agree with you. But there's the 60% in the middle who need to be persuaded, and they're not going to be.
Well, the Labour Party's implosion is showing us, you can't just shove everything under one umbrella.
Well, I just think there's 20% on each side that are extreme and will never change.
Exactly.
And it's the 60% in the middle that basically could make all the difference. And the problem is social media, because being nuanced, being centrist, that horrible word, being anything like that, just doesn't work online. And so you end up being, I'm either with you or against you.
Well, this was Deborah Meaden was in, actually, earlier.
Oh, I love Deborah Meaden.
She's great. She said
she's nice as...
Beyond nice.
Because I've spoken, I follow and she follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, she's lovely.
I've never met her, but I just think I really
like
her.
Oh, she was great. She was just, in fact, I think she would have held on to see you if she had...
Was she today?
Yeah, she was just here about an hour ago. But she had to get the train. I said you were coming in.
Oh, so cool.
But she was very interesting because we were saying, you know, is Twitter... Is the rage in the real world and the lack of nuance in the real and the fact that people can't debate in the real world, you know, and Twitter, does Twitter represent the real world or is the real world representing Twitter?
I think what's frightening about Twitter is it's a bit like the way people become, very mild-mannered people become quite kind of road ragey in a car because they feel they're safe. And I think Twitter, what's terrible about it is, are you doing that because it's a way of expressing yourself? Or are you actually going around with these thoughts in your head all the time? And just, that's the frightening thing. When you read the sort of reality on Twitter of what people are thinking, you then wander around the streets thinking, are all of you who look quite normal harboring this shit? And if I was, for instance, Jewish, or those targets things, or
a woman.
Women probably, you're sort of used to it anyway, because you know there's creeps and stuff. But I think particularly something like anti-Semitism, which supposedly is, you know, has become... It's absolutely no go. And then you can see it's just there all the time. And if I was Jewish, I'd be thinking, fuck, is everyone kind of thinking that? And it would really make me paranoid. So I think anything that you're worried about or affects you personally, I think is heightened on Twitter. It's really weird.
But you know, like in the 30s when they were, you know, you get to the, sorry to bring it back to the Juden again, but you know,
well,
with Kristallnacht.
It's all you guys talk about.
It's literally, it's the in between the controlling and our big giant fingers.
By the way, I get both because I get Jew supporting or Jew lover, but then also because I grew up in Lebanon.
I know, I was going
to
ask you.
I'm like, traitor to the cause. I'm like, well, I'm not an Arab, not Jew. I don't care what I am.
I mean, do you get the dusky Arab? I mean, what are the main things? Because you way before David and all of them, you were the one that I saw early doors could handle yourself on this site. You like had the right rage and humour and intelligence.
Well, I love an argument.
Yeah.
I genuinely love an argument.
Do you?
Yeah, and I also really like trying to be. Because the one skill I've got a very unmarketable skill. Most comedians want to be actors and want to go into scripts and stuff. And I just can't do that. The one thing I can do is make stuff up on the spot. That's what I love. And it's what I'm good at. But it's a very unmarketable skill. Because unless you're riding the wave, you go to someone and say, just trust me, I'm going to do this, it's funny. They go, well, no, I want to see a script or something. And Twitter, to me, is a way of kind of, I love it. I can just be, I think, oh my God, I think of the perfect answer and it goes out straight away. And it doesn't, no one really knows about it, but it makes me happy. So
what was the things that people would troll you on? Or what did you find that, were you surprised when you started to get negative
comments? Oh no, I mean, God, I remember the very first troll I ever had was on, I think it was almost on MySpace or something. And I remember it so specifically because it was so wrong on every level. It was amazing. So Trigger Happy had just gone out. This is 2000. And the first show had gone out, and it got really good reviews. And I don't know where it was. I remember it was like almost like a sort of 1960s computer screen, like a sort of a forum or something. I have no idea. It was like a Channel 4 forum, maybe, or something. And a researcher in the Trigger Happy office was on it, looking at it. And I looked, and the only comment on it was saying, I don't know who this cunt is on the Trigger Happy thing, but he's just a poor man's Chris Morris. And I thought, well, that's weird, because I've literally, and the thing he was talking about, he goes, for instance, he wouldn't go and buy drug, you know, pretend to buy drugs on the street, and you know when Chris Morris went on the street, And I'm like, I live on that fucking street. And so it annoyed me on so many levels because I wasn't trying to be Chris Morris, but also I lived on All Saints Road where he just popped in, did that and fucked off. So, but then I thought, what am I doing? Why am I getting angry about this? Why does it matter where, and you realise it's irrational sort of thing. And also, but then I've had a really weird one. So the only time I took exception was one guy started going for my kids.
Ooh.
And things like, I hope your kids die of cancer,
oh my
or whatever.
God.
But unfortunately for him, he was so stupid that he tweeted that from his work tweet. So I just copied it, sent it to his boss, and he got fired, and I don't give a shit.
No, you're right, because there has to be. This is
I'm
my
just
big
like,
thing.
Fuck
real
you.
Life repercussions real life, for on life shit activity.
I mean, I can do it. I'm fine, you know, but I mean, just say what you want, but you do that, then you know. And also, if you're stupid enough to put your own work thing up, like fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. What? Why did they attack? What is it? Do you goad them, or what is it?
Because I have a feeling they're just sometimes like there's the usual crap, which is fine. You know, you're not funny. What are you up to now? Like all different stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're with Brexit now. I've become a sort of anti-Brexit. I'm not really a Remainer in that sense. I am, but if I have to be on one side, I'm not going to be a Brexiteer. So I get a lot of that, but you get the usual sort of generic stuff, and there's quite a lot of things, which is incredible how I used to think if someone said something really bad, I'd get really upset, and then the way I used to, not upset, but I'd think, oh, maybe that's true, you know, and then I'd think, right, who's the person I admire the most in the world? Weirdly, at one stage, I didn't admire her, but I just thought, how could you not like Nigella Lawson, for instance? So I went to her Twitter site. Same shit.
Oh, same shit, yes.
And you suddenly think, don't take it personally. Like, I mean, it's the same thing. And there are weird things like, they have an obsession with relevance. That's a real word. So David Baddiel gets it. I get it. It's like, when were you last relevant? I go, what do you mean relevant? What the fuck does that mean? I mean, that's only ever said by people who've never been relevant themselves. It's an odd thing to want
it's
to
what
be.
It's 12-year-olds at my go to school. You're relevant or you're not relevant.
But there's specific things. Just sometimes you think, ooh, that's almost knows too much about me. And you get a little suspicion and think, fuck, is that someone I know?
God.
Which is like, and it's a bit like that phone hacking thing where people start getting paranoid that people are doing that. But the one I got really badly, and it went on for ages, and I think, because about, and it really was personal and got really bad, and it was knew a bit too much. And then I got a weird tweet from the same person later going, that paid you back. Anyway, I've tried to work out, tried to do a Colleen Rooney. And I think I did an American version of Trigger Happy, and I'm still a bit embarrassed by it because it was horrible, but it was in a play. I went to a theatre and I had to do a big mobile. And it was in the middle of a very moving scene in a tempest or something. You know, so all actors will hate me for it, but fuck it. You know, come on, it's only a play.
Yes.
And I just thought, I've got to do it. And I hated myself for doing it because they were in. Anyway, so I did it and then walked out. And this guy in the theatre chased me out. And literally, I was sprinting through New York.
One of the actors?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And he's dressed in full. So it became a sort of secondary Trigger Happy sketch as I'm running down the street like this. Anyway, I got away. I hid in a deli with my big mobile. It was just so weird. It was excellent. But then he contacted me the next day and said, I'm going to fucking make you pay for that. He knew it was me because he was English. And I have a feeling he then waged a sort of vendetta against me or something. I also had a very long feud with a guy called Louis Barr, who you probably know.
Oh.
He was the radio reviewer on the Lady magazine, of all things. And he's written some books on people like Les Dawson, I think, or whatever. But anyway, suddenly I started getting abuse from him, and he would sort of bring his gang, and they'd really have a go. But then when I looked at who followed him, he knew lots of people. I knew Al Murray, and he was friends with lots of people I knew. And in the end, I sort of tweeted one of them and said, is this guy a total cunt, or what's going on? They go, no, you'd really like him. And I go, well, why is he doing that? So this went on for ages, and then one day, I think he had a little bit of some sort of change, and he sent me a really sweet thing saying, I'm taking a bit of time off Twitter, which is always a sign.
Yes.
And I think I live near you, and I've got labs as well. And it was rather sweet, actually, and I just thought, right, well, let's just leave it at that. And then he said, I've just realised you're fighting the same fight as me, so we shouldn't be fighting.
God,
it was all really awkward.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not saying this as a...
Have you met him?
No, and I'm not saying this as a go at him.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where I kind of thought, but you and I are almost... I mean, we have similar views. Yeah. Why are you having a go at me? I've never understood it.
How weird.
Yeah.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah. Tell me about what's your strategy with trolls? Do you block? Do you engage?
No. Okay, so when I started, I did block. And then I realised that they saw that as a trophy. Mm. So my favourite thing in the world is the mute. Because the mute is... they don't realise they've muted you. And so occasionally I'll check someone I've muted and just look and go, oh my God, they've been screaming into a vacuum for 2 years. And I kind of love that waste of their time. So I'm a muter now.
You're a muter? Yeah. Oh.
What do you do? Do you block?
Well, no, because I was terrible. I used to engage. I can't help it.
Well, I always engage.
Yes.
Occasionally when I'm bored and I think I've got there, I do a, anyway, bye, mute.
Yeah. I did mute, but then it bothered me that they were still screaming out there. And
It sort of did. But they're still screaming if you block them.
They are, but there's this new Don't Feed the Trolls campaign that we're both aware of, that has changed my optic slightly.
The Riley thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I'm being sort of involved in
did
it.
Did you do that? I did that. Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah. And but you know, I've been talking to them a lot over the last year about
and they
that.
Feel
they feel very strongly you do not engage because
in
they organise hate crime. You know, they, okay. You block immediately.
But I think yours are different from mine. I mean, I think Jewish stuff, anti-Semitic stuff. But
Labour,
just saying that I'm not funny is not an organised hate crime.
No, no, unless, you get the nutters under the bridge.
Yeah,
mine
are
organised.
I get proper
army.
Trolls. Yeah,
yeah. I've never had a single, other than the odd dick pic. I'd never had a single negative thing ever.
I've never understood the concept of a dick pic, but we won't get into that right now. I literally don't understand that on either side. But can I tell you that I've got the holy trio though? That I am blocked by what I consider to be the holy trio of Twitter. Yeah. Trump before he was president.
Wow.
Before he was president and called me an asshole. So that was my big
well
one.
Oh, well done.
Piers Morgan.
Oh.
And Katie Hopkins.
Oh, you did it. You've
done. The Holy Trinity.
You have.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I don't put it on my bio. Blocked by.
Your work is done.
But I am quite proud that I annoyed Trump enough.
How did you manage that?
Sort of trolling him.
Did you?
I just always thought he was the most appalling human being. I mean, I loved Hit Celebrity Apprentice. I loved it because it was so awful and the whole mafia sycophancy of his kids and stuff. And then he kept saying he was running for president, so I would wind him up and just said, you'll never run for president. Anyway, he clearly reads tweets because he just broke in the end and went arsehole and then blocked me.
David pointed out when he was on, that the biggest troll in the world is Trump.
And he's very good at it.
And he's very good at it.
Yeah, because he has that. If he has one thing, it's that innate ability that a bully has to spot a weakness and go for it. Like he's a bully, and his whole thing. He had a lawyer called Roy Cohn, who was like almost a murderer, like a mafia figure. And his whole thing was, if you're attacked, you attack back 100 times more. And sometimes I do that on Twitter. I'll get really annoyed with someone, and I'll sort of take them down. But the problem is, you do occasionally win. Mm. You know, you sort of feel you've won, but then another 100 people come. So it's like a sort of never-ending zombie army.
Yes, it is a never-ending zombie. And the organised hate groups that come, that I would call them core, you know, I'm left-wing, like you, we have left-wing sensibility.
I'm
assume.
Not left-wing.
Oh, aren't you?
No, you see, that's what's
so
weird.
So what are you going to woke meetings for?
Because I'm not a cunt. I mean,
I'm not a cunt.
I'm interested in listening to, this is what I can't bear, is like, why? I mean, I'm more left-wing than right-wing, but I'm centrist, totally. I think I'm a Lib Dem if I had to be.
Why is centrism so evil now?
I don't know. Well, I think it's because centrism now is equated with Tony Blair. I think for Corbynites, when you say you're a centrist, that's basically saying you're a Blair. So that turns into a Blair, it turns into the Iraq
war.
Baby murderer.
Always obsessed with baby murder.
Obsessed with murdering babies.
Obsessed with it. I mean, so I got...
To an extent, you think...
No, they're obsessed and they've got all the pictures lined up.
They always have pictures. Have you seen this? And you go, where did you get that
But also
from?
They put it under different things because you're like, hang on, you tweeted that awful picture out for Syria last week and now you're telling me it's the PKK. Yeah, yeah. Now you're telling
me
it's...
Well, you can't argue... nationalities of babies though, because that doesn't
no it's the
good.
Same picture
no I get that but you can't pick them up on that. That's their issue, I think.
What, that they then put the same one out for the Palestinians? Because baby murderer.
Yeah, but I wouldn't argue that one.
No, but my favourite one was... Okay, forget that.
No, we'll just we can't
I liked it when the Tommy Corbyn, who has been trolling me recently...
Who?
This Tommy Corbyn.
Who's Tommy Corbyn?
The son of Jeremy.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he organised a pile on me.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah. Because I... If your father is the leader of the opposition, right, and
it's not a good look, is it?
Well, it's not a good look. And he's out with the woman that was meant to have done the independent report on anti-Semitism, and they're at your workplace.
Chakrabarty.
Whitewash Chakrabarty. Yeah. You did the whitewash report for Period.
Yeah, yeah. And literally, at my, report for honour, isn't
it? Yeah, report for honour. And they were both... I literally was on stage and I came out quickly to get a coffee in the foyer and they were behind me in a foyer of Jews on a Friday night, all furious. And I thought it was so funny that they were there that I did do a picture and I sent it out with loads of emojis. You'd have hated it. Laughy, cry emojis, crying.
It's not the hate emojis. I just can't see them. I don't know what most of them are.
It was the laughy ones.
I like the new big ones.
Yeah, the giant... you should do a trigger happy, like huge...
Well, I've got a big one on my face, but I look like Kim Jong-un in it, so it's not good. I look Korean, so it's really bad.
So I tweeted it out going, oh my God, now being treated, trolled at work by whitewash. Well, Tommy Corbyn lay into me. But and said, just cause the biggest amount of... I've had death threats, all sorts.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Every time I go on stage in Finsbury Park, I shit myself.
Why'd you go on stage in Finsbury Park?
Because I'm in a play as an actress. Okay. That's the day job.
Right. I don't do theatre, so I just...
Acting stuff. And because that's the thing, we have to remember, I'm a fucking actress. I'm a sort of literally a Z-list, as they tell me, repeatedly remind me.
Oh, Zed. I'm lucky Z-list. With Zed. Oh, I'm lucky Z-list. With Zed. Jesus, I dream of Zed.
Z-list, stupid soap star. They're still trying to get me sacked off EastEnders. I've been in it for 15 fucking years.
Oh, that's the other thing I hate.
What?
Oh my God. So there's that weird thing where you write about someone. Now, I think if someone writes something, if I wrote something about you and I wrote, I hate Tracy Annam and I put an at, that's me sending that to you. But if I'm writing that and I say something about it, there's always someone that goes, whoa, and brings it to you and goes, look what he said, and it's literally then steps back. It's that shit-stirring nature of it. But even worse are those people that you say something and then they go, do you work for Channel 4?
Yeah.
I go, I wish. And then they go, I don't think Channel 4 would be happy with
it. Yes.
And they're sort of like these terrible sneaks. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes.
What? I mean, I hate them.
So here's the thing. So in the same way that you got that bloke fired... But
are they winning because we're having this conversation, though? No, they're not, because I'm enjoying it. So go on.
No, I think it's about life lessons. I think this is less about trolling and about being brave in life. Because I've had a lot of people write and on the back of this going, oh, I went into work and I stood up to that bloke who's been bullying me. It's about
being
brave.
But that's different, isn't it? It's different in real life to Twitter, though, isn't it? That's
what's
so
odd.
Yeah, it is. Because you don't... Yeah, well, it kind of isn't. I mean, if you're either that sort of personality or not, aren't you?
I think it's emboldening to listen to you.
I think we're both fighters. So.
We are. We're street fighters. Yeah. I think it comes from...
I love an argument. My wife goes mental because she's Canadian. So literally the nicest woman in the world. She spends her entire time apologising for me. Yeah, but she kind of loves me for that because I'm the antithesis of a Canadian.
Do you think it's the immigrant blood in us that has had to fight to be part of a hegemony that we are not?
But you see, I don't feel I am an immigrant. For me, I never belonged anywhere because I am British and my parents are British, and there's a very complicated story as why we ended up in Beirut. But
I want to know how you ended up in Beirut.
Well, very briefly, jollies were Huguenots in Switzerland.
Amazing.
Booted out, ended up in Spitalfields for 200 years, and then they went off to a place called Smyrna in Turkey, which is now Izmir. And in those days, the Ottoman had special protectorates, a bit like Hong Kong, where foreign merchants could kind of run themselves and run companies without paying tax to the Ottomans. And they kind of lived like kings, like posh merchants, basically. And they were there for about another two generations. And then they were arrested by the Ottomans in the First World War because they were British, marched across Turkey, put in a Crusader castle in Urfa, which is on the Syrian-Turkish border.
Wow.
Armenian Holocaust is going on around them while that happens. And then when the war ends, they leave and go to... They get dropped in Beirut. Started a company there. So that's how we ended up.
Unbelievable.
So that's the book I'm going to write.
That's an amazing...
Yeah.
Wow.
And when my grandfather was released, the Foreign Office debriefed him. So I've got an 80-page debrief. I mean, it's literally the dream book. And that's my next book I can do.
Wow.
That's my big serious book I'm
going to do. Yeah, yeah, no, and that's a serious.
I have to wait for two people to die and then I do it.
Oh, God, fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, yeah, actually, God, yes. But...
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah.
So that's how we got there.
How did you come here?
Plane.
Well, when did you... Were you born in Beirut?
Yeah, so that's what was weird. So in Beirut, I was always this, you know, British family. My dad was kind of consul and stuff like that. And I was always this British guy. And then I was sent to really posh private schools here from when I was seven, obviously, because that's normal. And I went to school with Radiohead and...
Oh, with Ed?
Yeah, and with Radiohead and most of the current Tory cabinet. So yes, it was all a bit weird.
Oh, weird.
But there, I was this guy, because I'm dark, and I, like, was from Lebanon, and I came from Civil War. I was this guy who lived in Lebanon. So I've always felt slightly floating.
And you weren't a prince.
No, I wasn't a prince, that's true. So I always felt I'd been floating above it. And I think, for me, I've loved that, because it's given me, I think that's what gives me my humour. I sort of can slightly be detached to look at things and...
Do you have an outsider complex?
No, I don't. Well, in the sense, do I feel I don't belong?
Yeah.
No, I've always felt I really belong. I felt an outsider in Lebanon because I wanted to really fit in, but I never learned Arabic because I was raised on the Christian side, and Christian Maronites don't think they're Arabs, they think they're Phoenicians.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they think it's common to speak Arabic. So they only speak French. All Lebanese actually speak French, English and Arabic in the same sentence to show off because they're amazing show-offs. But so I don't speak Arabic, so I never fitted in properly there. But no, England, I feel totally...
Did you?
Oh, yeah, totally. Always have been.
And even at school?
Yeah, definitely at school. Because in a funny way, my parents were almost more English than the English because they were expats.
Yeah.
You know, my dad fought in the war. He was in the Fleet Air Arm. He went to Oxford. And then he got stuck in Lebanon where, you know, I was born in 67. That's the Summer of Love. They probably hadn't even heard pop music at that time. They were about 20 years back. So it was like a bit of a sort of Edwardian... It was almost more English. It was like weird because I was like, isn't everyone like that?
Yes.
So it's very odd.
Coming here.
We even had a British flag flying in the garden and stuff. You know, it was weird.
So
which now would mean, oh my God, my parents are racist.
Do you... I don't like that. On Twitter, do you have rules about what you will or won't talk about?
No, fuck no.
So, and do you...
In what sense?
Well, do you think, you know what, I'm not going to wade into that. So for example, are there certain fights that you won't get involved in if
well,
you
I find
get
it,
embroiled?
I find it very odd, the anti-Semitic thing, because it's so virulent, and because weirdly, I think I just get on with Jewish people because I follow quite a few, so I can see it happen.
You've got the same fighties.
Yeah,
yeah.
But what I find myself doing, which is really depressing, is I end up fighting with people below David Baddiel's tweets. And so I don't know what David Baddiel's thinking. He's sitting there and he's looking. And suddenly I'm in there having a fucking massive barney. And if I was here, I'd be sort of weirdly flattered, but also think, really?
No.
Haven't you got your own trolls?
But I'm really... Yeah. Thank you. You've so, backed me up on a few occasions. And a big, strong man like you, they back off when you get involved.
It drives me nuts. And the other thing is the women thing. And I genuinely, I'm not saying this because, you know, deep down I'm a serial rapist.
No, but
I genuinely don't understand misogyny. I don't understand... The visceral hatred, especially comes online. And it was shown in America, for instance, with Hillary Clinton. I mean, I can see why you wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton for various reasons. But when you go to America and talk to them, there is such a loathing of her. And it's more than just she's a Clinton. It's a woman thing. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I think what it is, again, Naomi Klein brought it up rather beautifully last night. But it is a bit that as people are being threatened, and maybe political correctness has gone slightly too far... In the sense that it's almost over. I mean, I joke that when I say that French bloke over there, my kids go, Dad, that's a bit racist. And I go, no. If I said that French cunt, that'd be racist. But they are a bit almost overly, and I'd prefer them to be that than the other way.
Yeah.
But I think because of that, people feel threatened and they feel emasculated, especially emasculated. And I do think white, male, working class Brits, I think they've got a sort of point. They sort of are the last to have rights in a sense.
And I understand the Brexit vote.
And exactly why they were. I understand Brexit vote. And the Brexit vote now is not about Europe anymore. It's about we said fuck you, and it's just become roundheads and cavaliers. And I understand all that, but they're still cunts.
And I do understand the Trump vote.
Yeah.
I do understand.
No, I don't understand the Trump vote. Because the Trump vote was all about every presidential candidate always says, you know, I'm going to go and drain the swamp. I'm going to go and get rid of corruption. And I understood that they like Trump because he said it as it is, which, frankly, it's what Katie Hopkins always says. It's like, we can all say it as it is. We just choose not to because we're not cunts. But I'm saying cunt a lot, sorry. But,
I like it.
But Trump, what I don't understand is, of all the people to choose, you choose Trump, a man who so clearly will never give a shit about you. And the only thing I can think of is because The Apprentice, if you grew up in America, he literally was made into this American dream vision. So if you just watch telly... And you weren't that smart, and I'm not being mean, then you kind of believed that he was this leader person. And I think it's the same thing with Brexit here. I cannot understand the vitriol, again, against Europe, the hatred of, like, German, stuff like that. And I think it comes, It must come from the Sun, from the Mirror, from tabloids, which has been feeding that fodder all the time. I don't read those, so I don't get it. I'm just like, but that sounds really snobby and awful to say that.
I find the whole thing, the whole I don't even really understand where we are. I just feel like we're up to about 1935 now. I mean,
I
it's
think
like
36.
Do you think we're there now?
Yeah, I think so.
I've got it. I mean, tell you, if the past predicates the future, it's really it's worrying. It's genuinely the speed that this is whipping itself up.
If someone, what did someone do? Someone tweeted the other day. I think it was Duncan Jones, David Bowie's son, who's great. I really like him, and he's like smart. And I think he put a picture of the 2012 opening ceremony. I said, remember this?
Yeah.
Like, that was our finest hour. Yeah. Like, we felt so proud. And look where we are, and it's so quick. It's just gone.
But daily, things are. Just to sort of take, at school, were you ever bullied?
Oh, yeah.
And
really
how
bullied.
Did you deal with it?
Really badly. I was a goth. So
were
I,
you?
Well, I think as probably because I'd been bullied, I sort of retreated into a mysterious goth thing. So I spent
what, with the makeup?
Oh, yeah, full makeup. I was Robert Smith. I looked more like Robert Smith than Robert Smith, yeah. And I spent 10 years just sitting in the corner thinking, I wonder if someone will go, who's that interesting bloke in the corner? Nothing. And in the end, I kind of left gothdom because I never really understood the rules. Also, I was too optimistic, really. I wasn't that depressed. Mm. And so I left.
You're more too alpha, really.
Yeah, I was an alpha goth, which you can't be.
No.
But I really want to make a documentary about goths because goths here are kind of Robert Smith and, you know, all Rambo, not the poet, not Rambo. And then in any hot place you go to, there's always one goth by the beach melting. It was normally me, like not going near the beach, but just wanting to smell the sea. And then when you get to America, they become, the people did Columbine call themselves goths, and Marilyn Manson, they're kind of frightening goths and emo. So I want to do a documentary about it, and I got two names for it. One is That's Me in the Corner, which I quite like. The best one is Young, Dumb and Full of Glum. I really want to make it.
Oh.
And every time I do a podcast, I say it. I'm hoping one day someone will ring me up and go, we should make that.
You totally should.
Because there are famous ex-goths as well.
Totally.
Caitlin Moran,
yes.
Simon Pegg,
yes.
Marcus Brigstock.
Yes.
Interesting ex-goths.
You.
Me.
Talk to me about being bullied at school and why you weren't very good at it. Because you're bloody good at standing up for yourself now.
I think I was bullied because I was quite cocky. And I was really, I probably was arrogant, actually. And I know when people meet me, they say I come across arrogant. And I know I get really defensive. I'm genuinely, weirdly, I hate people say it, but I am shy. Mm. Like if I walk in a room, I actually really liked becoming famous because it got rid of that first moment of awkwardness. So I can walk into a room now and people know who I am. And they'll sometimes be rude about it, but it kind of, you just go straight into a conversation. What I'm really bad at is walking into a room and kind of, you know, but once I'm chatting to someone, it's great. And I think at school, I got there and I thought, I mean, boarding school is all about attack, but it's like a Trump school. It's like attack before you're attacked. It's about defense.
Prison.
It teaches you to close in, emotionally close down, not give any weakness away, not show any weakness. And my weapon was my brain and my tongue, I think. And I think people didn't like that. So, I'd get bullied. But, I mean, not physically bullied, but it was just, there was a sort of mob mentality, like a clique thing, and I never really fitted in. I didn't want to fit in. They were a bunch of cunts.
There lies my thing. I think one of the things that a lot of people have who've been on this, they never fitted into a group. And I suppose that's what I mean about being an outsider.
I hate groups.
Yep.
I mean, I literally, the Groucho, I hate any club that would have me as a member. I'm really not clubbable. But what I really fucking loathe, and it sounds so woke, I hate bullies.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
Bare bullies and literally even injustice. It's terrible. I mean, I'm sounding like a superhero. I'm not, which is why I end up fighting. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, I'll fight your own trolls, but when you're off.
No, you
I'm sort of troning around looking for someone to fight.
Yeah.
But I just think someone's got to do it.
Well,
but
I'm totally with you, and yeah. I'm totally.
But I don't think it does any good. Sometimes I read you doing it, and I'm like, oh.
What is that noise?
It's called a telephone.
Is it your telephone?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's quite big. But it's not big enough.
You take that giant telephone and turn it off.
Yeah.
Do you think I? Yes,
I'm probably
I do
being
do
trolled. Actually,
you probably are. Yes. Fuck off, you cunt.
Let me see if I've got a rude one. What have I got? See, that gives us an excuse to.
Yeah. Find your latest tweet.
What my last tweet?
The last most horrible tweet either said.
What that I did?
Yes.
Probably to you, isn't it?
Was it? Oh, no, that's
I'm
a
joking.
DM. Yes. Fuck off, you cunt. Oh no.
Okay. I did too. I quite liked actually. Mm. So, this woman I've never heard of called Lucy Inglis, do you know who she is?
I know that name.
She's a historian or something.
Yes.
And she said, she wrote this very angry thing this morning, got really on of it, saying, "Dear TV people, please, please do not ask me for my expertise and then say you currently have no budget. I'm 42. I have 20 years in this game. No time for this shit. It's rude and disrespectful. Also, don't email me if you're 22 and have a signature of researcher." So I thought that last bit was a bit, really? So I did, I just retweeted it and said, "Would love to discuss this, but have no budget. Any chance we can tweet on an IOU basis?" So that's not a troll. That's just sort of, I thought she was a bit cheeky. But the man I really like, Steve Baker, hard man of Brexit, he was leaving Downing Street yesterday. And I wrote, and I was quite pleased with this, "Man who fill hearts with dreams, not always Baker, Confucius." Because the old joke is "man who filled tarts with cream, not with bacon."
Very good.
No one got it, though.
You are
one
clever.
One like. Yeah.
So your top tips for anybody listening to this who would like to put their head above and...
Is don't take any fucking shit. I mean, I'm just like, my point is, I can genuinely tell you now that I've never been unprovoked to someone on Twitter and been rude to them. Like, I would never search someone out and just say, "You're a cunt," apart from Donald Trump. But I think that's... I think I was provoked because he's just a horrible man. But
which is almost consensual, isn't it?
It's like
he's almost, by what he puts out, he's asking for it.
So I'm saying just don't be nice, basically. But if you see someone being a cunt, especially punching down, that's the important thing. If you're punching up, if I'm having a go at Piers Morgan, he can take it. Actually, he can't take it. He's very thin-skinned and it's hilarious. But whatever, that's fine. But when you see people punching down or bullying, and especially that pylon thing, which is a... appalling thing. But actually what you can do, one of the things is there's a filter thing that you can just take out certain words. You know that, don't you?
No, I didn't know about words. I know you can...
you can just put in a word. So for instance, libtard is such a boring fucking word and it's always done by Americans. I've just put libtard, so I never get a tweet saying libtard, which takes away about 100 nutter Americans. But I mean, you could do that with a lot of things. Katie Hopkins I put in for a bit and then I thought, actually, no.
So, what's a melt?
A melt?
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, you're a melt.
A melt's a kind of... You're a bit of a dick, really. It's a sort of...
Is that something about me being in the media? Or if
no, you're... no. Melt just... it's a Cockney thing. It's like, you're a fucking melt, aren't you? You should know that in EastEnders. Yeah, you're a melt. It's a melt. It's a perfect word for it.
And snowflake is...
you know what that is.
Well, I sort of do.
Well, snowflake is people that get overly... in a funny sense, you could be accused of being a snowflake by someone for reacting to people going on about being Jewish, for instance. Mm-hmm. But that's not the term. The term really is for people that are very woke and so they're looking to take offence on anything.
So like triggered all the time.
Triggered all the time. Okay. And triggered is the other. That's what I hate. So someone does something to you, you then hit them back with the great reply and they go, "Triggered," and then and the fishing emoji. Go fuck yourself. Like, honestly.
Do we stop being troll hunters and become trolls ourselves?
Well, I've always wanted to do that thing of just knocking on the door of someone. You know, literally just saying, "Right, I'm coming to see you." It's sort of everyone's dream, isn't it? Like kicking in the door, go, "Go on," then say it to my face. And you just know it's going to be a 50-year-old balding man masturbating.
With his hands down his pants.
Yeah, yeah. So, which might be
Jolly posing against everyone.
Or it might be me. I don't know. Like, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I think we are trolls in a way because, you know, one man's troll is another man's freedom fight type thing. The difference is punch up, troll up.
Troll up.
Maybe
that's
troll
a,
up
troll
is the
up.
Way,
that's
not troll
a
down.
That's a bloody good point.
Isn't that, if you're trolling up, then you're okay.
So you mean Trump trolling Kim Jong-un? Is Kim Jong-un ill? Is that punching down or punching up? Is turning
well,
around to...
Well, geopolitically, it's punching down, but, I mean, even we'd have to admit that Kim Jong-un is a more despicable human being than Trump. Come on, killed a man, for God's sake.
No, it's true. But it is getting to the point that I could almost live in North Korea now. You know the
rules?
I've
been to North Korea.
Have you?
Yeah, you don't want to.
Oh, wow, I'm so jealous.
It's the weirdest.
Tell me about the last
weird place on Earth.
I'm desperate to go.
It's insanely brilliant.
Were you just in Pyongyang?
No. I did a coach tour of North Korea.
When?
2010.
How?
I went to the Beijing Olympics as a correspondent for The Independent, and I met a guy... who's the only person who takes in... I think more people go in now, but at the time, he's the only person that took people in. And the only way you can go into North Korea is part of an organised coach tour. But the only people that want to go to North Korea are hardened backpackers, like Kiwis and, you know, people who've been to 180 countries. And their idea of hell is a coach tour. So you have all these hardened people on a package holiday. But it's so shit. It's incredible. So, like, day one, they go, today we're going to the Dear Leader's Mother's Tomb. You're like, hooray! And then we're going to the Museum of Agricultural Lathes and Scythes. Yes! And then as you go through Pyongyang, for instance, it's like the last scene in a Bond film. You come to these... I've really understood brutalist architecture.
Yes.
The architecture is built to be so big and overbearing that you as an individual feel... You actually feel small. And they keep them busy all the time. So on the sides of the road, there are people kneeling. They all wear wellies, doing something. Well, what are they doing? They were all cutting grass with nail scissors. And then you get to a square, and they're all doing mass dances to keep them busy all the time. And then the best place I went to... Sorry, I love North Korea.
God, I'm obsessed. Tell me
there's
more.
There's a place... You know, like when a foreign leader meets another foreign leader, they always just exchange presents.
Yes.
It's just a diplomatic nicety. But North Korea take that fucking seriously. They're like, this means people respect us. So there's this vault in the mountain you go to, and you get taken there, and there's two soldiers with gold Kalashnikovs outside, and you go in, and every single present ever given to North Korea is there. And it ranges from a train, a whole fucking train from Stalin, to an alligator, a stuffed alligator holding a tray of drinks from the Contras in Nicaragua, a plate from the NUM in Durham. And what was my favourite one? It was... I've forgotten what the other one was. But it's the most insane place. I mean, the weirdest things.
Where else did you get taken?
Well, I went to Pyongyang. We were 3 days in Pyongyang. And then we went up north to a sort of approved hotel that was like The Shining. We were the only people in there. It was insane. Then we went down to the DMZ, to the demilitarized zone. Then we went to the only old bit in Korea, a Buddhist temple. We went everywhere. I mean, it's a shithole.
And could you see beyond the propaganda?
No, that's the weirdest thing about North Korea is everywhere else I've been that's under an oppressive regime, normally when you get away from the guides, people go, ooh, and they ask you questions. In North Korea, everyone's drunk the Kool-Aid. And there are dissidents, but they literally there's no internet, there's no TV, there's no access to anything. And
they have their own TV. There's
one channel which just literally shows marching bands. Yeah, that's all it is.
So what do they do?
Cut grass with nail scissors, do a lot of mass dancing. They do these big, there's these massive stadium shows in the summer where they all have coloured flags that change. You know those things where the whole crowd changes? So they spend 6 months rehearsing for that.
Wow.
It's just keeping them busy all the time.
I think there's something quite quietly, you know, not benevolent dictatorship, but at least you know what the rules are.
Well, I tell you what, they are a hideous family and they've killed and they've done terrible things and there are awful labour camps there. But I understand the Korean mentality. They were known in the 17th century as the Hermit Kingdom because an American ship came in the 17th century and raided a town and burnt everything. They were then invaded by the Chinese. The Korean War happened. It was their fault. Their entire worldview of outsiders is people coming in and fucking with them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they behaved well. Mm-hmm. Japanese came and took all their women off to... So they are sort of mistrustful of it. And now they're just stuck in this bubble. And so it's the weirdest place.
Fascinating.
Tell you the best thing. Do you know the best industry? The only industry is in North Korea. Is it's there where they make those statues. You know, Saddam Hussein's big swords and stuff like that. If you want a big triumphal statue, you go there. And the joke was that if you wanted to know where the next revolution was in the world, you went into the factory and see who'd pre-ordered.
Amazing.
So, and at the time, in my book, I wrote, I saw a Boris Johnson. I didn't. But of course, I was bang on. So it's really
amazing.
Good.
Yeah. Were the people welcoming or just terrified?
They ignored you totally, apart from the guide. And the guide was educated, but they did this really clever thing. And they basically said, there are rules here. You can't write about this. You can't do this, can't do that. If you break those rules, your guide will be punished. Like, they do that. It's horrible blackmail. And that's when I see people going into North Korea with a hidden camera and doing that. They're getting someone in trouble.
Yeah.
Even though he's a member of the party, it's a very twisted, horrible place.
So the student that nicked the poster who ended up brain dead, abused and beaten, there was always a bit of me that thought, what the hell did you take that poster for?
I mean, weirdly, on my tour, there was a weird Finn who was on our tour, and he was very fucking odd, and he announced that he was a high priest in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monsters. Are you aware of this? There's a religion in Finland that atheists did. Atheists felt that people that were religious had got more rights. And so they said, well, our church is as valid as yours. So they set up a church called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monsters. And his passport photo has him wearing a colander on his head because he said he's a pastafarian. That's where we're at, yeah? And it's funny and weird. But this guy was very odd and didn't say anything. And then we went to a museum of old Korea. It was like a sort of Disney part of North Korea. They were going, see, before Kim Jong-un, look how peasants lived. And there was this massive gong. Now, obviously, everyone who sees a gong, you just want to hit it. Yeah. But you're in fucking North Korea. You don't. We just walked off, heard this massive gong. Not only did he hit it, he got his shoe off.
Oh,
hit it
my
with shoe, which
God.
Is like the worst thing. We were literally chased with pitchforks out of the town. So it was amazing. Yeah. And now, and we laughed about it and thought it was great. But now seeing what's happened to those other people. But those people tended to be, even if they were American, they were Korean extraction. You see what I mean? So the Koreans sort of feel, well, you're not really American, so we can do you, sort of thing.
But he wasn't. That's
I don't think he was that one.
No,
yeah, yeah.
I know.
And then he died, yeah.
How many... Yeah, God, badly. Yeah, yeah. Well, how many... Now, forget the trolling. Let's go back to this. Tell me, how many of those people on that tour did you think you're secretly a spy, or undercover, you're doing...
Oh, none of them. No,
they were proper nerds.
They were all... High on basically, the first thing we all did is like, how many countries have you been to? Like, we were all like that, so yeah.
Have you been to Finland?
Oh, yeah.
I love Finland.
Do you?
Yeah.
Fucking hate Finland.
Do you?
Yeah, I hate it.
I was Moomin Mama in a film and they took me on as a national hero. So I went, the tourist board took me and the family.
It probably helps.
Oh,
it helps if you're a national hero.
I was literally, did you not like the rock church?
I went, it was at the end of a trip to Russia and I took a train to Helsinki and it was on the day where all students wear a sailor hat and do stuff in Central Square. And I was hoisted in a crane in Central Square for the TV bit. So I was a bit distracted, but yeah.
Did you?
I love Denmark. That's my current. Current what? What? Why?
Not for me.
What are you talking about?
Sorry.
Have you been to Copenhagen?
Yeah.
It's the coolest city in Europe at the moment. Oh, you're wrong.
I did go many years ago.
Oh, you're wrong.
I had a boyfriend
that.
From that, and I just thought it was dull. I thought the Tivoli Gardens bored the shit out of it.
I just thought it was dull.
The
only problem with the Danish, who, by the way, behaved brilliantly to the Jews in World War II.
They
you know
were
that.
Very nice. I mean, listen, not everything through my prism is
no, but I'm just saying, yes, in case people don't know, they are. But the problem
the
with
them, king, he said, you can touch.
They're almost too nice. And so there's a part of me thinking, come
know,
on, guys, you've
got to
do... Really? That's very weird. I love
it. No, I felt that. I walked along and I was thinking, this isn't right. There's some weird shit going on.
Yeah, you're all whipping cats somewhere or doing something.
You've got people in your basement and your children tied to
radio. There's a bit of Fritzl.
Yeah, definitely a Fritzl quality. But in a sort of Swedish...
I don't know. I filmed with a Danish company for 6 months. I was in Copenhagen all the time. They never broke the mask.
They never broke the cover. Well, I think there was a disclosure with all the, you know, the killing and all of that. This was them saying,
actually,
this is what's going on
is
under
that Danish, us. Though? That's Swedish.
They're the whole, no, Swedish, Denmark,
no,
Norway.
Oh, no.
Ibsen threw it out there.
Yeah,
long time.
Okay,
I mean,
well, look at
them. And Strindberg.
Look at that.
No,
right,
Ibsen, Strindberg, they were screaming for help.
I'm just going to say Ionesco. I don't know why.
Ionesco. A rhinoceros.
Yes, that's all I remember. I don't think he's even Scandinavian. We're not really talking about trolling.
No, we're not, but I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've done the trolling. We've done everything.
Good, I think
Do you want to say anything?
Hello.
Talk to me about your most engaging, horrific, or just give me a trolling story.
What's my best trolling story? Well, I had a massive fight with Piers Morgan, and I'm not quite sure why. So I met Piers Morgan when I went golfing in Marrakesh, as you do. And this was just after he'd been fired from The Mirror for that photo. And he'd just written The Insider, which was a very good book and very entertaining. But of course, Piers knew it. And so we met, and it was through someone else. Like, I was writing for the Sunday Times or something, and he was doing something. It was a jolly, and off we were to Marrakesh. So we turn up, first thing we sit in the plane, Piers's opening gambit was, and I was quite big at the time, he said, plane goes down now, who makes the front page, you or me?
Oh my
like that,
God.
Which I kind of loved. So what I like about Piers, I mean, he's an appalling human being, but he's fucking smart, and he's entertaining. And he would be at one of my dinner parties, and I thought he understood that, you know, and he banters and I banter back and that's it. He wandered around the Mamounia with his book in a see-through bag so everyone could see it. You know, all the moves, it's fine. So anyway, we kind of got on. But when he tweets his usual rabble-rousing shit, occasionally I'm like, for fuck's sake. I mean, I hate, for instance, the fact that he's so anti-gun and he has these principles, but he's so far up Trump's arse. And, you know, you would be. You're excited that you're friends with Trump. And that I find a real difficult position. But anyway, I was having a go at him and suddenly his son has a go at me. Who I have no idea who his son is, but I suddenly realise it's his 22-year-old son. And his son is fucking laying into me going, yeah, well, you were shit on I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, my God.
You were shit on I'm a Celebrity. You have to do reality shows. So I'm like, well, didn't your dad do The Apprentice? He goes, yeah, but at least he won, you know. And I was like, I don't want an argument with you. I didn't know who you are. And then, out of nowhere, Piers Morgan blocks me and writes this big thing saying, I cannot believe Dom Jolly's bad enough anyway, but to attack my children... And I was like, I did not attack your child. But obviously, when they say that, you feel, fuck, did I? Which I didn't. So that was quite a big...
Have you met up with Piers in real life?
Well, since?
Yes.
No, so twice I've been booked to go on Good Morning Britain, and they've brought me up to do some publicity. And both times I've been literally at the hotel or out And they've rung me up and said, you're bumped.
Gosh.
And basically, he's obviously just thought, fuck that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I kind of think if you dish it out, but you've got to be able to take it.
Well, that's
the trolls.
That's the trolling mentality.
Yeah.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head.
I've just realised I'm a massive troll, aren't I?
No, but you're not. You're on the. You're like the troll fighter.
I try and
fighter.
Be funny with it. I am a troll fighter.
You're the troll fighter. And you, honestly, you're a troll fighter.
I like that.
Because you
We should have cards.
Troll fighter.
Yeah.
Because you can sniff out the bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you're right. If you're not clever enough to come back.
Yeah. I just hate. I particularly hate stupid trolls. That's what I really hate.
Yeah. I don't. For me, it's about. It's a one. You know, it's a singular. It's the lie. You know, so. It's the libel. You know, when my head was posted next to Jimmy Savile being called a paedophile.
What?
Oh, there's a whole court case. I mean, the law will change.
I don't know these things.
Massive court case.
Where do I know about these? Someone called you a paedophile.
Well, that's the new thing that they do, the far-left trolls, is anyone who is a Zionist. We've gone from, you know, Zionist shills.
Oh, so you've gone from baby killer
to paedophile.
Yeah.
Everyone's a paedo.
Really?
Howard
Jackson. So you're suing someone?
Well, all sorts of things.
Is it a joint suit?
Me and Rachel Riley.
Oh, really?
The two Jew figurehead ladies with the blonde hair and the blue eyes.
Yeah.
They hate us because we don't go... They hate us because we speak out on misogyny and anti-Semitism.
But do you think they hate you more because you're women speaking out?
Definitely. So yeah. I would do... Weirdly,
I do look, actually. You know when I said I look at other people's things to see... Women are definitely... I mean, it's extraordinary.
Definitely.
I mean, I get it, but it's sort of banter.
No,
but,
no, because there
so
were
the level of hatred on women's... Of just
the visceral...
Yeah, it's visceral, it's the word, yeah.
You know, I would notice early doors when Eddie Marzan was on, so Eddie and Schneider and Badil and a few others, a guy called Lee Cohen, and myself would put out something, the only one that would get the visceral hatred.
I've been trolled for being Muslim and for being Jewish, which
really?
Is quite odd. It's quite nice to get both. You know, I'm like, well, come on, make your mind up.
I know, but you're too clever. You're their worst nightmare because you're fearless and you don't...
But I do bite more than I should. I spend too much time as my wife.
Who's that, your wife?
That's my wife.
Oh, she's pretty.
Well, she was, that was 20 years ago. Love, can I ring you back in 2 seconds? I'm just finishing the podcast.
I'm going to let you go, but I don't want
really
to let you
that.
Go because you're fascinating.
I love that, though. It was fun.
That's that for another episode of Trolled. Thank you so much for listening. I really love my guests, and I'm so glad that you do too. But if you enjoyed it, make sure you subscribe. And apparently the thing to do in Pod World is to rate and review us, which would be wonderful. I'll be back next week with another guest. Have a good week.
Hi, I'm Hannah Norris, and this is my husband,
Carl Donnelly.
And we have a new podcast for you. It's called The Keith Cheggers Podcast, and it's about pregnancy, because that is what's happening in our lives right now.
And inside your belly.
Yeah, so we are recording weekly episodes throughout the course of my pregnancy, talking to each other and interesting and funny guests that we have on about their experiences with pregnancy, so we can work out a bit more about what the hell is happening and what is coming up for us. So tune in, subscribe, and have a listen to the Keith Cheggers Podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.